Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Listen Up with James Potts and co-hosts Jamal Potts and Zaylor Stout, only on LA Talk Radio.
All right, Jim, Jamal, and Zaylor are back on the line. And as always, thank you so much for joining us on your Sunday evening or your Sunday afternoon, whatever the case may be. Hopefully you're all doing well and you're staying safe among these trying times with the Delta variant running rampant out there. Jamal, Zaylor, say hello to everybody.
Hey, happy Sunday, everybody.
Happy Sunday, everyone. Welcome. Thanks for joining us today.
We're glad to have everybody here for sure. We're going to get into some of these blasts. Well, let me just start off with Jamal, because Jamal always has some interesting blasts. But before he does that, we're going to be talking about bioterrorism today, because I got some information from somebody that feels that there's a conspiracy out there with all of this. So we need to talk about that. Also, we're going to be talking about the pandemic and the differences between warfare. So we need to talk about a couple of things with this. So we're going to see how it all turns out. Bioterrorism versus biological warfare versus the pandemic and infectious diseases. You know, everybody can come up with a theory for all of this, but we've got to keep this in plain talk, so to speak. We don't want the conspiracy theories out there. So we're going to be talking about some of these things as well. But in the interim, let's see if Jamal has any blasts for us today.
Yeah, man, this one's personal, man.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I just want to put the New York Giants on blast for that terrible display of football last Thursday, man. I'm still kind of bitter. You know what I mean? And the only reason why I'm really saying this is because my dad, Mr. Potts over here, is a Washington football team fan, the team with no name. And we just lost to a team without a name, without a starting quarterback. It was just truly embarrassing, man. So,
does that make your team 0-2?
That's my blast for the week, man.
Okay. All right. Well, I would just like to say that I did see that game, and I think it was a hell of a game no matter who had won. I'd like to give credit to both sides, and I'm not going to be bitter about a loss when I think both teams played so well. No. So that's just who I am. So at any rate, I think that the Giants, I think they did the best that they could under the circumstances. And, you know, they just unfortunately came up a little shy of the goal. But, Jamal, look at it this way. There's always next week. Isn't that what the loser always says? There's always next week.
Yeah, man.
Okay,
yeah,
then that's fine.
I can't wait.
Yeah, you know, well, you won't be playing us, so it doesn't matter. Man. You know, so.
And, you know, they just unfortunately came up a little shy.
Here we go with that again. They just came up shy. That's exactly right. So.
There's always next week. Isn't that what the loser always
says? So, from that perspective. At any rate, Zayla, you don't really follow football that close, right?
I'll be going to the Vikings game next Sunday.
Oh, the Minnesota guy
that
now. That's right.
It'll be my first time at the new stadium.
I'm sorry, Z.
See, Zayla, that's what you got to contend with Jamal
on
this.
No, not that. I was supposed to be there with Z next week.
Right.
To go to the game.
It's supposed to be here.
Right. Yeah. Well, as it turns out, you're not. So. I don't know if you want them there anyway, Zeller, bringing all of that New York Giant bad luck into the stadium. So let's just look at it that way. Let's move on, guys, because I got a blast also. I got to tell you, my blast is against the Biden administration and not necessarily personally to President Biden, okay, because I don't know who makes these decisions, and it may not go all the way to the top. But right now, this is a situation in Del Rio, Texas, where all of these Haitians have actually walked across the Mexican border, crossed the Rio Grande on a dam, okay, that's there, and they crossed across, and they are literally on the other side of the bank, and they're under a overpass. There's 11,000 to 14,000 Haitians that have walked across the border, and now they have a tent city going on. Now, you know, here's the issue, though. The issue is that the United States, and I don't know who it is directly that's in charge of this, are actually taking these Haitians, putting them on planes. They've already told them, you cannot be here. So with them, they are rejecting them from coming in and not rejecting others from coming in. And I have a real problem with that. And they're putting them on planes, and they said that the men are going to be first. And Zayla, you can Google this if you want, because it's on the internet too. And they're going to put them on the males on the planes first and take them back to where they came from. Now, I don't understand that, you know, and I would hate to think that we use the word racism so easy in this country. But this isn't the first time that they've done things to Haitians. The Haitians have come across on the water for long journeys and been turned back as well. So I don't know who's responsible for it, but I'm going to do some more research on it and watch how this unfolds in the coming weeks to see what they actually do. But it just sounds a little unfair to me that you'd hold one group different from another group. So that's who I'm putting on blast this week. All right, Zeller, by any chance, you have any shout-outs or any blasts you would like to do?
Well, no, I'm always entertained by Jamal. Okay. So I'll give my time to Jamal.
Okay, so with that in mind, let's go ahead and get into these emails. Jim, as prior law enforcement, what is your opinion that the FBI did not properly address or pursue the sexual assault allegations against USA gymnast doctor/trainer Larry Nason? And that's from Jill from Jacksonville, Florida. Now, Zayla and Jamal, I'm assuming you guys have heard about this.
Yes.
You know, and, you know, this thing about... I'm sorry, Zayla?
No, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, at any rate, they had one person, Maggie Nichols, had told the USA Gymnastics in 2015 that Larry Nassar had abused her. The FBI was alerted soon after. And it was decades of serial abuse of hundreds of women and girls after that. Now, Jill, to be honest with you, what's my opinion? My opinion is I would be extremely concerned about that like any other citizen. I don't understand that if, in fact, the FBI was alerted, why the FBI did not take action. These were young girls. The youngest, and this even includes Simone Biles, by the way. I'm sure you realize her. Allie Raisman was a part of that. Maggie Nichols, Michaela Maroney. These are people that complained about these things with this guy, and they took no action. So that is surprising to me because, again, this started when one of them was 13 years old. And that to me is just, it's criminal. It's criminal why the FBI did not take action. Zayla, what have you heard about it, and do you have any opinions about this?
Well, I know I definitely haven't read every piece of paper and every document that there is as relates to this. I mean, but you're the one with the law enforcement experience. You know that they need to gather evidence and all that kind of stuff. And I'm not sure why it took so long. You know, there's always cases that come through different systems. And you're like, as laymen, we think that there would have been enough for them to do something. But again, that's why they're having a congressional investigation. And they had the hearings in regards to that. And one thing I want to say, if I was to give a shout out, is to the women that testified in front of Congress in regard to that. I mean, it takes a lot of strength to be able to do that. You don't see men, you know, testifying in public in regards to allegations and situations like that. So, so big ups to the women for having the strength to call people on the carpet in regard to this and hopefully create a situation where, you know, young female gymnasts aren't put in this type of situation again in the future.
Well, young women anywhere, you know, the gymnasts or whatever the sport may be. And so I appreciate what you're saying, without a doubt. And it does take a lot. But that just goes to show you how these women were so traumatized by this. But you have to understand, you know, 6 years. For 6 years, some of them endured this knowing that this had gone on and then what was going on. Jamal, I'll get to you in a second, but I'll just read something to you. In her own disturbing statement, Olympic gold medalist Michaela Maroney, who says she was abused by NASA hundreds of times throughout her gymnastic career, beginning when she was 13, said that her story was minimized and disregarded by the FBI, then buried. After telling my entire story of abuse to the FBI in the summer of 2015, not only did the FBI not report my abuse, but when they were eventually documented my report, 17 months later, they made entirely false claims about what I said. She said they had legal, legitimate evidence of child abuse and did nothing. Now, you guys know that my regular listeners, how I am about child abuse and all of those kind of things, because we've even talked about it on this show. Child abuse is wrong. Jamal, weigh in.
Well, this is what I want to say, too, man, because at the time, Simone Biles received a lot of backlash from stepping down during the Olympics, and people were upset. You guys have to understand, leave people alone. You do not know what they're going through behind the scenes. We are people of emotions. And the same with the young tennis player. She received a lot of backlash. We don't know what's going on in these people's personal lives. And to try to minimize it is just a very dangerous thing to do, because then you're left with the excuse, well, I didn't know that all that happened. Just leave people alone. When people step down, it's for a reason. And, yep. I'm sorry these young women went through this thing, man. I mean, and they are braver than the Olympic platform for stepping up and saying something finally and giving their testimony to the events, tragic events that happened.
Jill, to answer your question more specifically, what do I think? I think that because it's a big issue with the Olympics, the money that's involved in the Olympics, the people that are behind all of this, who knows? There could have been a factor there where certain things were said and done. They didn't want to bring a cast of dark shadow on the process, as an example. So maybe they buried it. It's going to come out. If any of the people associated with the United States, I mean, you're talking 6 years. Somebody had to know it. Simone Biles says she didn't know anything about this till after the Rio Games. So you would think, if nothing else, that people would be talking about this, even rumors to this effect. But who knows? The FBI said, as far as they're concerned, is that the special agent who was involved in this, he's kind of going to be under the gun with this, because they want to know why. And in addition to that, he's sitting up here. He was trying to get a job with the Olympic Committee. That's a conflict. Yeah. He's got information with this, so he probably didn't bring it because he didn't want to, hurt his chances of being able to get with the and be on with the Olympic Committee. So there's going to be some there's going to be some more issues coming out of this. It's almost criminal negligence.
If anything, wouldn't it help him become part of the Olympic Committee? Well, if he had brought it to the forefront, every single time these guys try to delay the inevitable, because it does come to the surface. Like when Penn State had their issue, and that whole allegation came out. You know what I mean? And it ends up being worse in the long run if you don't speak up and step on it right away.
Well, law enforcement, to me, has an affirmative obligation at any level to look into any kind of abuse, especially when it involves children, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
Children, the elderly, all of those different vulnerable, citizens that are out there with some of this, they've got a responsibility. So because it's in front of, the Senate and Congress, whoever's got it right now, it's not going to just rest like that. There's going to be some information. And watch, the lawsuits are going to be out there. And quite frankly, they should. So we'll wait and see.
Hey, by the way,
uh-huh.
You mentioned the word elderly. What age classification is considered elderly?
How old are you now, Jamal? I already know how old you are, man. So I'll just say over 45, man.
Well, I'm asking because I just found out the other day that I'm the oldest guy in my boxing class.
In your boxing class, yeah. Grandpa.
At 42.
Yeah, who was that that just fought, Jamal? You told me about that just lost.
Evander Holyfield.
Evander, right.
Yeah, that was embarrassing, man. If anybody should have put that on blast, the Olympic, I mean, whoever sanctioned that fight, they should be put on blast. They should have never allowed 58-year-old Evander. And Evander should be thankful that he didn't fight Mike Tyson after all, because Mike Tyson actually looked good.
In comparison. Right. Okay, so I don't see any comments from anybody yet, so I'm just going to keep moving here from any of the listeners. Jim, next one. Jim, it has been reported that that the minority community, specifically African-Americans and Hispanics, are reluctant to get the vaccine. Being African-American, what is your opinion as to why? And that's from Susan from Van Nuys, California. Before I answer that, I'll ask Jamal and Zeller, have you guys heard anything along those lines?
Yeah, man, we don't trust nobody. Plain and simple, man. The ones in power, we do have a history in our country of experiments that happened to black people. I'm not sure.
The Tuskegee Institute.
The Tuskegee Institute.
It had to do with syphilis.
There's been experiment on prisoners and things like that. So we move with caution when it comes to that kind of stuff. That's just kind of our natural instinct. You can say it was a long time ago, but sometimes history tends to repeat itself, and some people are nervous, and some people confused about the information that comes out, too. You know, I'm still confused because I keep hearing, like, you know, SoFi Stadium said you can only come in if you're vaccinated.
Tell the listeners who SoFi Stadium
is. It's where the Rams are, the football teams. So, you know, they say, but at the same time, they want you to come in, you got to show your vaccination card. But at the same time, they're saying, well, vaccinated people are also spreading COVID still. So the information is still confusing to me. That's my thoughts on it. Z,
what do you think? I mean, if you heard that, you remember.
No, of course. I mean, your family members that are still that are choosing not to be vaccinated either because they're vaccine hesitant or anti-vaxxers. You know, different people have their different reasons. Do I think that there's more, based on my experience, or more black and brown folks that are reluctant? I don't have that data, so I defer to the folks that are actually tasked with actually tracking it. I folks of all demographics that I know that are gung-ho about the vaccine, and folks that are either hesitant or never going to take it.
You know, I will tell you, tell me something, guys. Are there any comments coming up? Because I'm working with this computer. Okay. I did some research on this because I did want to look more into it. You know, we try to do these kind of things when we have these inquiries. And let me just tell you, from what I've learned, is that it's under 50%. So specifically, only 43% of black Americans and 48% of Hispanic Americans are vaccinated, compared with 52% of white Americans. So the numbers are definitely lower. And according to the information that I found, was that Jamal was, you know, talked about historically speaking, he was alluding to the Tuskegee Institute situation where blacks were, you know, experimented on with, you know, syphilis as an example. And these men were just devastated behind this. So we have a tendency not to forget. I mean, if you think about slavery and things of that nature and what happened during those days, we still have a tendency not to forget that. So we're not people who forget about the different things that may happen to us in the course of time. Jim Crow, all of these kind of things, you know, the civil rights movement, we don't forget. So they say that, according to what I'm reading, is that they are a little bit more with being hesitant. That A, from what I'm reading, they don't trust the government like that. They don't trust the vaccine itself. Right. And they don't trust the medical profession.
Right.
And that's part of the problem with African Americans. They don't go to the doctor as much, you know, as well. So I don't know. You know, where the mistrust comes from, I don't know. Maybe it's just because of things from over time, historically speaking. It takes a lot more for it to get through to us, maybe. I don't know.
Plus, we still got our natural, you know, remedies and, you know, being raised by black moms and black grandmothers. You know, the remedy for everything is go lay down and take a nap.
And eat chicken. Don't forget the chicken. Don't forget the chicken soup, man.
Right.
You know, here, eat some chicken soup and go to bed. You'll be fine in the morning.
No matter what you do, boy, go lay down and take a nap.
Right.
Bust your head on a skateboard accident. Go lay down and take a nap.
You know, I'll fix you some chicken soup when you wake up, you know. So it's true. So I don't know, you know. We'll see. Hey, before I forget, this is kind of in the middle, but since I have everybody's undivided attention, next week, Dr. Potts is going to be back with us regarding this. I should have mentioned this at the beginning, regarding this business about those booster shots. And he's going to be there to give us some information next week about how that's working out, why we should or should not, et cetera. Although he doesn't advise anybody what they should do, and they should always talk to their physician.
So what's a booster shot?
The booster shot, Jamal, is in reference to people that have taken the vaccine. Okay, like the Pfizer, the first and second shots. Now they're talking about a third shot.
I quit.
You know. You know, they're talking about now a third shot because the efficacy, you know, on the first two shots, there's a concern that at some point it's going to expire. So they want to do the booster shot, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Man.
So he's going to be on there next week.
Can I throw in two quick things?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so I think we were looking at the same report in data in regards to the percentage of blacks and Latinos compared to whites that are getting vaccines. And so the same report talks about that between August 16th and September the 7th, that blacks and Hispanics have also seen an increase in regards to a larger increase of getting other vaccination rates than their white and Asian counterparts. So there is a trend that's different. And also to throw out, there was a booster shot also with the polio vaccine. So I'm sure Dr. Potts will be referencing that next week when he talks about that.
Dr. Potts has stated before, whether he's on the air or off the air, that there is a difference between the polio vaccine and mm-hmm. how it works and how it was intended versus anything with this. But you're right. That would be a question that we can pose to him next week. So, Zella, if you could, we can write that mm-hmm. one down and ask him. I think that would be good.
You know what? After the radio show is over, man, I think I'm going to go take my first shot at the bar right down the street, man.
Well, the second shot's supposed to wait for 2 weeks, Jamal.
Just don't know if I want Jack Daniels or...
Well, you know, Jamal, the other side of the coin, I mean, it's like, you know, your brother, who, as you know, is coaching, he's under a situation where these schools are demanding that these guys coming in with the teams have to be in. We got a text message here from a listener. Hold on a second. It looks like she's sending me a chart here on this. Percent of total population that has received at least one COVID-19 vaccine dose. By race and ethnic. Okay, so we have a listener that's sending in some information. That's what I like about these listeners. These listeners get into this. Okay, so.
They're on top of it.
They're on top of it. Well, they're sitting there in front of their computer. It looks like Asians are at 68%. Let me see if I can. Yeah, 68%. Whites are at 52%. Hispanics are at 48%. I think those are the same numbers we just gave, Z. And blacks are at 43%. Mm-hmm. But the number, and this is March 1st to September 7th. Okay, so thank you very much, listener, on sending that information in. Percent of total population has received at least one shot. So all these people have received at least one shot. What's interesting, and looking at this graph that was sent to me, is that the percentage with the Asians has gone up higher pace, and the Hispanics and black has basically been at a level pace, let's put it that way. It's a little bit different. And, so this is interesting. You know, it's interesting on the Asians why they're so, you know, theirs is high, but I think that I read the other day that with the Asian population that they have been exposed to viruses or whatever it is over the years, so they wear masks more generally, because sometimes you see these people with masks and gloves on, and you wonder why they got a mask on. This is before the pandemic I'm talking about. So I think that they're a little bit more conscientious about it. So I don't want anybody to read anything into it just because they're Asian and the whole issue is China, because Asian doesn't just include people from China. So let's just be clear on that. So there's a different way of thinking, maybe. I don't know. But thank you for that, listener. I don't have anything on the side here. For some reason, I don't have any comments that are coming up. So if you have it, if you could write it down for me, I can see if we can... you guys see it? Because I don't see it. Do you see it, Jamal? Okay.
No, I wouldn't be able to see it.
Right. Sorry. I don't know why it's not coming up on the side on this. Let me back this up a little bit and see if I start back with this and see if the comments are going to come up. So just bear with me for a second, guys. So watch the video, send a message. I see that. But under the comment section, you know, there's nothing there. See, oh, wait, here we go. Wait, whoa. Oh, one person wrote in, laugh at the first shot. So somebody's laughing about Jamal in the first shot. Okay, I got it now. Okay, very good. Okay. All right, let's get to this third one so we can get on to this other stuff here. Third one, Jim, ironically, you were just discussing about missing persons, and now there is a major search going on to hopefully find Gabby Petito, P-E-T-I-T-O, Petito. Her boyfriend, Brian Laundrie, is a person of interest. Do you think he killed her? Laura hasn't given me a play. Well, I got to tell you something. I have to be careful about an opinion about whether or not I think he killed her. What I find is that his behavior is suspicious, and I can understand from a law enforcement standpoint why he is a person of interest. For those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, this couple went on a cross-country trip, and they were driving her van. And the last time they were spotted together was in Utah. And now all of a sudden, he's back home with his parents in Florida. She's from Florida also. And he's back home, got back home, I believe it was last Thursday, or earlier in the week, whatever, the Thursday before that. And he's not talking to anybody, giving anybody information. The young lady's family is trying to get to them and ask them where he is, and he's not responding at all. The police have been involved, and he's not even responding to the police. Now, all of a sudden, he has disappeared, and his family now, he was home for days, okay, days. And now, all of a sudden, they report that on Tuesday, he went for a walk, okay, and they didn't report him not coming back until Friday. Now, listen, trying to analyze these facts, I'm awful curious what's going on here. All of a sudden now he's missing, and they say he went walking in this area that's 25,000 acres of swampland, and that's where he goes for his walks. So now, of course, they're all looking in this swamp area of 25,000 acres for this guy. In my opinion, he's not even in there. I think that he's someplace else, okay, probably trying to get out of the country or something. And I don't believe he's in that swamp area at all. And his parent, why did his parents wait 3 or 4 days under these circumstances? Mm-hmm. So he was home for days. I don't know. Zayla, have you heard anything about this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So it was they were fiancés. And so I've definitely been tracking the case in regards to this. You know, they're trying to find her cell phone because that would have information. There was police that were called at some point during their trip.
Right.
I think the allegation is they were some kind of domestic dispute or something.
Right.
So there was dash cam video, if my memory serves me correct, and body cam video in regards to that interaction. It's a crappy situation, especially since they were over like 3 or 4 different states with this road trip.
Yeah. And, you know, supposedly, you know, they were last seen in Utah. So, okay. Mm-hmm. So he drives all the way from Utah to Florida. Doesn't say anything to her parents, okay? And you know, he gets with his parents back home, and they have an attorney already, so everything that's being said is based through him. And now all of a sudden, he's disappeared. Give me a break. So to answer your question, I think I will just say yes. I can understand why he is a person of interest. Do I think he killed her? I don't know. Okay. The family, we got something from the listener. The family, of course the family knows. Listener saying that, you know, that this particular person is saying that they believe that the family knows. I know the family knows, and I think that probably is what happened is that they all planned, allegedly, all right, that, you know, what the next course of action would be, and now all of a sudden he's gone, and they wait 3 or 4 days before they inform the authorities that he's missing.
Okay, this is where I draw the line at.
Go ahead.
This is where I draw the line at. When you say, you know, the family knows. You don't know what the family knows or not. Because sometimes people want to believe their loved ones would never do such a thing like that, or, you know what I mean? And you don't know what story he told the family that they just was willing to believe them. So let's not jump to conclusions and throw the family under the bus like as if they know what happened. We don't know that. That's a long shot assumption.
Well, Jamal, I have said on the air before that I have cautioned people about jumping to conclusions.
Absolutely.
I have, but the person has asked me a direct question. Do I think it killed him? And I'm not answering that question.
Right.
This person said that the family knows. From my perspective, does the family know his whereabouts? I don't know that he's told them anything about where this young lady is. Right. So that's not the part when I say the family knows.
Right.
Because I agree he may not have told them anything.
Right.
But does his family know where he is? That this business about he went for, why would they wait 3 or 4 days under these circumstances to say, oh, by the way, my son's been missing since Tuesday?
A lot of families.
That's the piece I have an issue with.
A lot of families won't turn their family members in. They love them.
Jamal, I get all of that. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm just responding to an opinion.
Right.
And I understand that.
Right.
Okay. If this situation was you, Jamal, I would, you know, one of my sons, I'd probably be, you know, tight-lipped about it as well.
Right.
Okay? Because even if somebody committed a crime, we still don't know all the facts as to the whys, what happened, and things of that nature. So
right.
I get that.
Right.
Okay? All we're talking about is the main thing is why didn't he at least say something? He drove from Utah to Florida.
Him, yes.
Okay?
Yes.
So from that perspective, he's not talking to the police.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
So who knows?
So, no, I agree with him being suspect for number one. I just don't want to throw the family under the bus.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
Well, eventually it's all going to come out. There won't be any doubt about that.
Right.
as these things typically do.
And the guy has an attorney, and so the attorney, I mean, he didn't just, like, pack up and vanish overnight. Like, somebody, he, you know, there was some money involved or something like that. I don't know. I'm sure the cops are going to be talking to that attorney because the attorney was aware of his client's whereabouts and everything and knew that he was a person of interest in regard to this investigation. The police probably told him not to leave the state or anything like that as well. So it'll be interesting.
I'm trying to figure out, you know what, I'm going to back out of this because maybe I didn't click on this thing right because it looks like there's a bunch of comments that are coming in on Facebook. So you guys are going to have to bear with me for 1 second here because I'm going to make sure I answer the issues, I mean the things that the client, excuse me, listeners are, let me click on this where it says see all. I just want to make
you
sure.
You know, I always, while you're doing that, I always feel like it's a dangerous thing, man. And I'm kind of a stickler for that, man, when people just say, I know what happened.
There it is.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, you don't know what happened. Because I've seen people make up these wild, bizarre stories and stick to it, and that's what happened. Like, come on, man. Like, you know what I mean? You guys got to stop doing that kind of stuff and kind of collect the facts, then draw an educated conclusion.
Okay, now, you know what, Jamal? I really wish we would say have these conversations with police officers, because that's the main issue.
Well, here it is.
See, we can't have it better. You're saying about people jumping to conclusions. How many times on here did I say with police shootings, and everybody jumps right away to a conclusion, what they did was wrong, and blah, 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 and sometimes it doesn't turn out that way. So you're right. I don't want to go down that path. We still got other areas. But here's what other people are saying. Family knows where he is, I bet. Let's see. Well, Mr. Potts, in my opinion, he killed that girl. Why else would his lawyer, why else would he lawyer up as soon as he got back to Florida? But that's his right to do that. Let me make that clear. And especially if he's a person of interest, he has to be protected by his constitutional rights. I'm willing to bet the family knows, allegedly. Right, fair enough. Well, if it did indeed lead the feds in the opposite direction, then they do know. And that's... And that's true. I don't believe he's in that swamp, Jamal. I'm sorry. But
yeah. Unless he committed suicide in the swamp or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
People have been known to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, well.
But the here we go again. The lawyer up thing. Let me tell you something. The police walked in right now and said I did something. I ain't saying nothing to them.
That's
right. If you just accused me of something, I'm going to go get me a lawyer, man. Whether I did something or not, why you need a lawyer? You could just tell, no. I'm not playing that game with nobody. So lawyering up does not mean you guilty of anything.
I think Zell and I would agree with you, Jamal.
Yeah, no, I know I'm dressing the person that said this. I know you guys know better, but I'm just saying. Once again, I'm not saying this guy sounds like he is suspect number one for sure. He was the person was last seen with him. I don't know the circumstances. None of us do. But yes, I agree. He is suspect number one, and his behavior is very suspicious.
Let's move on, guys. Let's talk about this business about Byron, and we'll keep. I'm sure we'll have more discussions about this when this guy ends up in Mexico with blonde hair or a shaved head. But at any rate, I'm sorry, I couldn't resist that, man. But at any rate, yeah, I received an email whether COVID-19 is being used intentionally as bioterrorism. Okay, that's a conspiracy theory to me. And I really don't want to get, so I want people to understand what bioterrorism is because I've done a lot of research even before this on those kind of things. And this is another part of terrorism. So I want to give you a definition, you know, so people understand fully what it is. Bioterrorism, also known as biological terrorism, is the intentional use of a biological agent or derivative of such an agent to inflict harm or death into a civilian population. Biological warfare, you guys, differs from bioterrorism in that the target of the attack is military personnel. So, you know, we haven't really seen that. I mean, in Vietnam, Agent Orange and all the, I shouldn't even say that. Let's go back to mustard gas during World War I. Let's go back to Saddam Hussein that was doing things with these with this gas and things and different things that they were using. But with him, he was introducing that into the civilian population, but not necessarily with the American soldiers. American soldiers were ready for it. They were prepared. But so there is a big difference. So we want you to understand that. Now, I'm not into, like I said, the conspiracy theories, but there's some things that I do want you to understand about this. And the use of biological agents on populations to cause harm or death is not a new concept, guys. Countries have been conducting bioterrorism for hundreds of years. Bioterrorism dates back to the 14th century when cadavers were dropped into enemy wells to poison the drinking water. Another example of bioterrorism occurred during the French and Indian War when Native Americans were given smallpox-laden blankets. I'm going to come back to that. This action is believed to have initiated smallpox in this previously unexposed population and resulted in a 40% mortality rate. Now, you guys, more recently, you may recall, more recently now, recent examples include the intentional contamination of salad bars in Dallas, Oregon. They use salmonella. You guys might remember that. They use salmonella, introduced it into the salad bars, and the 2001 attack using anthrax-laden letters were mailed to media organizations and politicians. So those are examples of bioterrorism. So it's possible that any of these things can happen.
Right.
All right, so just to be clear. Now, whether or not they want to, if they want to, this person that wrote that was concerned that bioterrorism was introduced with this pandemic, in my opinion, goes just a little bit too far. I mean, everything that we're looking at says that, you know, it started in Wuhan, China. So people there got sick. So if you're going to introduce bioterrorism, you're not going to start with your own population.
Right.
You know, you're going to start, you know, you're going to introduce it into another country. This is just something that got out of hand. And we're going to be talking about it. Are you going to make a comment, Jamal?
Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of people have a lot of questions, you know, with the bioterrorism, because I've heard everything from it's turning people sterile to, you know, having different kind of side effects. I would think most, if not all, medication has some type of side effect, unfortunately. It kind of comes with it. I think that's why when you see these commercials for pills and stuff, you know what I'm saying? It says, oh, yeah, this is great for this and that. But it also might cause this, that, that, this, and they rattled it off real fast. You know what I mean? But I don't think that's included.
Always a long list.
Right. That they read. How much do they get paid to read that list off fast? I wonder, man.
Hey, we got another comment from a listener regarding back, because I just turned to the other source that we have. It says, this is going back to the missing persons. On the face of it, it may be a hoax by Petito or her fiance or both that has gotten out of hand and is now a runaway freight train. So that would be interesting. I don't know what would motivate, but who knows? People do hoaxes all the time.
Well, Jim, yeah, that reminds me of that attorney down south that
Murtaugh.
His wife and son were killed, and then he was trying to stage his own suicide so that his son could get a $10 million life insurance policy.
No, absolutely. But remember in this particular case also that these two had an argument that the police responded mm-hmm. to out there as well. And apparently they had a relationship where they went back and forth. Now, I saw an interview of a woman that we're getting a little bit off the subject on the other thing, but I saw an interview of a woman that said she picked him up hitchhiking, and it was in Utah. He wasn't in any van. And she picked him up. First of all, I don't know why these women don't learn about picking up, you know, men or letting men pick them up in these cars hitchhiking, but whatever. So she says that, yeah, she picked him up. She remembers him. She picked him up. He was walking. She started asking him questions because he was saying that he had backpacked for days, but he had a backpack that was very light. It didn't make sense to her what he was saying. When she started questioning him about it, he got very agitated and told her to stop the vehicle and let him out of the vehicle, and that's what she did. So I don't know. You know, they got over 1,000 no leads right now. But
this was a dad that faked his death so his son could get $10
million? Yeah, this is South Carolina, Jamal. There's a big issue down there.
What do you get a dad like that for Father's Day, man? That's trying to get his son $10 million.
No, Jamal. No. The whole story is that his wife and son were killed a couple of months ago in a hunting lodge.
Oh, okay. Yep.
This same guy, okay, has had issues. The son that got killed was getting ready to come to trial because of a boating accident where he had been allegedly heavily drinking, had this accident, and his girlfriend got killed. Mm-hmm. So he was being brought up on charges of that. But this guy, Murtaugh, I think is how you pronounce his name, this guy has been involved in things, Jamal, because he has money where people have gotten off. He's gotten people off. There's a lot. Oh, okay. There's a lot of intrigue with this.
Okay.
All right. So now all of a sudden,
and
he's in the drugs.
With his law firm too.
Right. There's a big thing about his law firm. There's a lot going on with this guy.
Right.
So if this was on a deserted mm-hmm. road, Okay, he calls in that, you know, somebody tried to kill him, Jamal. All right, so and then when they took him to the hospital, he was only grazed.
Right.
Well, now, as it turns out, his drug dealer, because he's into drugs, had been arrested, and they're talking about now a conspiracy to defraud the insurance company.
Right.
Because supposedly is what he was going to do was have this guy kill him, because if he commits suicide, because he's been under a lot. There's a lot of investigation going on with this guy. So that if he had committed suicide, then his son, who's the only remaining person in the family, would have gotten $10 million. That's what that's all about. So, I don't know. I know this one listener is a former police officer. It'll be interesting to see if he weighs in on this part. But at any rate, so that's what's going on with that. But let's get back to the bioterrorism real quick. So what we're talking about here is that I don't believe it's a conspiracy theory. And when you relate bioterrorism to pandemics, there's a difference. So let me just give you that. Of all the types of infections, diseases, disasters, pandemics pose the biggest potential threat to the public's health in terms of morbidity and mortality. Historically, the influenza pandemics occurred on semi-regular basis. During the 20th century, three pandemics, you know, took place. And we've talked about those, 1918, 19, 57, 58, 68, and 69, which resulted in more than 779 deaths in the United States and approximately 53 million deaths worldwide. So do I think that there's a correlation with bioterrorism and the pandemic and these situations? My opinion is, I just can't buy into that right now.
Right.
Zella, what do you think? No conspiracy theory here?
No, I agree with you in regards to that.
You know,
everything you said, I'm on the same page.
And there's infections that are, I'm sorry, Jamal. Same, you.
I'm just going to say, I don't know. I don't know what people be up to.
Well, let's just look at this, because emerging infections, outbreaks have occurred through our recorded history. The Black Death in Europe, SARS, West Nile virus, H1N1, a Middle East respiratory syndrome, coronavirus, you know, as well. So this, look, none of this is new. But I think is what we have to do here, and I'm going to let Zayla weigh in this, is that unlike a bioterrorism attack or outbreak of the emerging infection, a pandemic is usually not an event that occurs suddenly. Zayla, go through the steps so people fully understand this, because we don't hear the steps themselves. So Zayla, give us a description of the six phases of a pandemic so people understand that as well.
Right, because all pandemics don't make it to the point where we're at currently with COVID-19. So there's six different steps. The first step deals with phase one, is a low risk of human cases. Step two deals with a higher risk of human cases. Phase three deals with, you know, no or very limited human-to-human transmission. So there's the issue in regards to it transferring from, you know, a non-human to a human, which deals with phase one and phase two. Whereas three is that part where there's, you know, no to very limited human-to-human transition from that, from transmission from that perspective. But then it ramps up. Phase four is evidence of increased human-to-human transmission. Phase five is evidence of significant human-to-human transmission. And then phase six is evidence of sustained human-to-human transmission. And so this is information from the World Health Organization, the WHO.
You know, so look, you see, this is... So that's why I don't believe that this is some kind of bioterrorism, you know, act, you know, for some country or whoever, you know, that you think that it might be from. Bioterrorism can be used. So let me make that clear, because I already talked about anthrax and some of these other things, introducing salmonella. One of the things that we've always been concerned about is water supply, and somebody putting something in a water supply situation as well. So nothing is below a demented mind. So let me make that clear. But I just don't think under these circumstances that that's what this, you know, particular set of circumstances really is. Now, as Zayla just read off with these six different phases of this, what's important about this, just to be clear, it's going to come back to the same thing about the efficient and sustained human-to-human transmission. And that's why they are working so hard with these vaccinations, while they're working so hard to get people to wear the mask and things of that nature, to still do the social distancing. That's just what it is. So we got to understand that. Let's see here. Do I have some more coming in here? I don't see that one yet. So I don't know. You know, I just don't think it's any kind of conspiracy, but a conspiracy theorist.
You know, the only reason why I say I don't know, because I wasn't trying to put it out there like, you know, government conspiracy. There's always some weirdo just out there that just wants to cause destruction, whether it's mass shooters, terrorist threats. We just don't know who's out there. That's why I just said, I don't know. Because, you know, I'm sure somebody's in their basement trying to think of something weird to do to harm a lot of people, man. There's just people out there like that.
We got from the listeners, it says, hey, guys, I heard that China is now using any of the COVID vaccines on the market. Why haven't we heard mass deaths coming from China? Well, that's very interesting. Then also, please tell Jamal I wish from better back next week for his, what is this? The Giants. No. Yeah, well, this particular guy, he's not saying what his team is, but I would suspect that he must be a Washington football team fan. Let's just put it that way. You know, you're bringing up China. Let me just tell you something about China real quick. You know, China, I don't put anything past them. Right now, and I'm going to say this, I know that's not going to make some people happy, Biden, in my opinion, is a weak president on an international front. Well, national front, too. But China right now is moving military objects. They're going to attack Taiwan. It's coming to me. And this is my prediction, that they're going to go into Taiwan, they're going to take over Taiwan, and this country is not going to be able to do anything about it, in my opinion, with the current administration. I think the diplomatic channels is what they'll do, what they'll discuss. But, you know, in these last few years, they have not made a move on Taiwan when we had a different administration. With Biden, I think them, and I'll say it again, we better watch Russia, because China is just not going to respect Biden. It's just that simple.
Is China still building those islands out there?
That's part of the issue. That's
still,
yes, they are.
Still doing that?
Yeah. And the United States is telling them, well, with the previous administrations, and it could have been with the Obama administration also, I don't recall, in all fairness. But they're telling them, don't do it. But the point is that they didn't do any of this in the last 4 years. Now they're making a military move, and that is going to be concerning, in my opinion. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. I'm hoping I'm wrong.
I got to research that a little bit more because I wasn't sure.
Well, remember what happened. Remember when all the manufacturing was being taken from China because under the previous administration, because that administration was talking about buy American and don't buy from the China. Was what happened was they started buying from Taiwan. So Taiwan started competing with China on some of that manufacturing as well. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what ends up happening with that. I don't know. This is all speculation, but the military move is not speculation for sure.
Right.
So we're going to have to wait and see. I think we got some more comments here, so let's see. I totally agree Biden is a weak president. Yeah, so... At any rate, you know, those are all matters of opinion. Everybody's got opinions about these different presidents. I know Zella fell quiet at the moment and everything. He's probably over there biting his fingernails because I'm mentioning about his guy, but it is what it is. All right. We got
now,
a couple minutes left.
Things, just like Afghanistan, have been going on forever.
And I don't disagree with you on that, Zella. We should have been out of Afghanistan a long time ago. I agree. I don't fault us getting out of Afghanistan, and I think nobody's really faulting us about that. I think the issue with Afghanistan is how it was done. And again, that's Monday morning quarterbacking for a whole lot of people. So we'll probably never know the story about it until the book gets written, so to speak. So we'll just wait and see. Okay, with that in mind, you guys have any closing remarks? We got 1 minute left before we have to shut this down. As always, it seems like it just goes so quickly.
I think I decided I'm going to get shot 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah, there you go, Jamal.
In about 20 minutes.
You know. Hey, Jamal, there's nothing wrong with getting three shots of milk,
man.
Is there any
side effects to that?
There's no side effects if it's milk. Zell, you got anything to say in closing here, or what's the deal?
New news on the Minneapolis front. Our county attorney, Hennepin County attorney, is not going to be running for re-election, so that will be something else to track in regards to you know, policing and holding officers accountable here, and what the city of Minneapolis does and who they get in place. to replace Mike Freeman, who's been there ever since I've been in Minnesota, so since at least 2007. He's been the county attorney, so it's going to be interesting.
Okay, keep us updated, because you know, Minneapolis is, people have their eye on them with some of these changes. All right, everybody. Well, look, as always, thank you very much for tuning in with us. We really appreciate it. Do us a favor. If you like what you heard, spread the word. Until next week, please be safe. Jamal Zeller, sign off.
Hey, happy Sunday, everybody.
Happy Sunday, everyone. Be safe.
You're listening to Listen Up with James Potts and co-hosts Jamal Potts and Zaylor Stout, only on LA Talk Radio.